you got all those wonderful presents for Christmas. Didn't you get what you wanted?
All I want for Christmas is my two front teeth. My two front teeth. See, my two front teeth.
Welcome to the Simon Parkes Connecting Consciousness Show, produced by Ever Beyond Radio and broadcast on Wolf Spirit Radio on the first and third Sundays of the month at 7 p.m. UK time. Simon actively encourages you to join the conversation by using the Ask Question menu link at the top of the page at wowwowwow.wolfspiritradio.com/listen. Please come early to ask your questions. Now, on with the show. The next 2 hours will be full of debate, interview guests, and up-to-date news. Please join Simon in playing an active role. Connecting Consciousness Show. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.
There's a jingle bell. So there you go, your very special Christmas jingle there, Simon.
I'm glad it's only once a year.
So am I. Took hours.
Listen, I want to thank you for that, because when I said to you, let's have a jingle for Christmas, I thought you would just, you know, forget it. So the fact that you did do that is brilliant. So thank you very much.
I remembered it the other day. It was not immediately, you know, like yesterday, but it was like, oh, hang on a second, he did say something. So I put it together. I thought I'd pull some of the old memories. Do you remember the chipmunks?
Yes, I do. Yes, just about remember those. Yeah,
they used to have that on Radio 2 when we were kids. You know. Anyway, so welcome to the final 2016 Connecting Consciousness Show.
Yeah, we've made it, haven't we? We've made it through another year.
And what a year. As, you know, you said it was going to be a rough ride at the beginning, and damn, you were right.
Mm. Yes. Yes. Okay, let's start.
Do you want to do some announcing first?
Yeah, I will do. It's obviously the end of the year in terms of the radio show. And although we did have a little look back 2 weeks ago, it's probably quite good to just have another little look back and see how far we've come. It has been difficult, but there have been some big movements and some strides forward. I'll do a little bit of that, and I'll look to the next 3 months ahead. I know that, you know, it's what we need. We need to have some idea of what is literally around the corner. And as I have, you know, a fairly good record of hitting it on the head, as we say in Britain, hitting the nail on the head. I think it's worth just, you know, talking a little bit about the next 3 months. Right, before we do, let's just talk about connecting consciousness. And in the intro, we always talk about join Simon and play an active role. And playing an active role is really important. And we shouldn't be surprised that we get lots of attacks. Regardless of who we are, providing we're trying to do something positive on the planet in whatever shape or form. And I'm aware that certain people have been posting things on Facebook. And something's doing the rounds, which is there's a book on sex magic purportedly written by Simon Parkes. And I can assure you that's not me. And if you want to look it up and look at the biography of the author and look at a picture of them, you'll see it's not me. And anybody who is trying to suggest that is me, you would have to ask yourself, why are they attempting to bring disharmony to connecting consciousness? There are a number of people who would very much like to take connecting consciousness, take the database, take the individual people, and then try and make a business out of that. And you know what? Connecting Consciousness is one of the few organizations that doesn't ask people to pay a subscription. You know, to be a member of Connecting Consciousness, you don't have to pay to be in that, which is definitely something that I never intended. But watch out for people who want to get you off connecting consciousness and then start trying to make money from you. So where there are coordinators who no longer sing the same tune that I sing, then I would ask individual members to elect your own coordinator. Elect your own coordinator from your group, and then that new person can Skype me and they can have a chat with me. So Connecting Consciousness is an organization where individuals develop and grow. I deliberately did it in a non-hierarchical way. But there are people who wish to become part of a hierarchy, to control and to dominate and to sow seeds of discord. And people should listen to my broadcasts. They should listen to me at conferences and then ask these coordinators, all right, what actually is he saying that's anti-human? What is he saying that's anti-development? And this is the way we need to deal with it. So if there's anybody who still is unsure, well, you shouldn't be in connecting consciousness anyway, because you ought to have enough spirituality to be able to see what is going on here. It's an attempt to attack and destroy something that was created with only goodness in mind. All right, that's what I'm going to give the energy to that. Now, I want to thank people who have so kindly donated to me. As always, I don't give the second name, but I want to thank Tom and Patrick and Chris. And one here is quite nice. It's Forest Creek Chapel. Robert, Laura, Bob, Cheryl, Mari or Marie, Gretchen, Oliver, Angelica, Nathan and Paul. There were others. I can't mention all of you. I've just pulled these names out of the hat. Didn't matter what they paid, they just got pulled out of a hat. Thank you very much indeed. Very kind of you. Let's look at the past. We've had ups and downs right across the planet, but we've had so many successes. I actually believe that Brit Exit Vote was a success, and I'm not becoming political, but I believe that Donald Trump winning was a success purely and simply because the alternative was horrendous. And although I'm not going to say Donald Trump is the wonderful thing and the savior, I will say that had we, you know, seen another person vote, which is Clinton, that would have been total disaster. So let's give the American people some credit here. The American people actually went and voted for an option that was the best option on the table. It doesn't mean that it was the one that they would choose straight away, but when they looked at what they had to vote on, they actually, in the majority decision, went for the least painful option. So well done to you guys for doing that. Let's look at Standing Rock. We shouldn't forget that Donald Trump has an important say in the companies that are on that. And I can say that he did have a big part to play in pulling out some of the drive to make that happen. No doubt the people who were very brave and went and joined the indigenous populations, and those indigenous people and those Westerners or other Asian people that came in and stood shoulder to shoulder with them, brought in the media, that created something that these very greedy corporates couldn't deal with. So, you know, God bless them. Well done. And when all the bison came and buffalo came to join the people, then that's the planet acting. So that was great that the black snake has been stopped. Now, if it's been stopped permanently, I'm not sure, but the fact that that's occurred now is a very positive ending. We've got a time now between now and what we'd call the holiday period, Christmas, where I do not expect any sudden disasters. The big corporates in the Western world make all their money now, and nobody in the elite is going to rock the boat. There is the difference between a big corporation breaking even or going under. So the amount of money these people make in the Christmas period will keep them afloat. So all the elite have agreed that they want to keep the train running for this period of time. So that's what we should expect to see. Come the new year, in January 2017, they no longer have that focus. I'm not the only one, but I'm certainly one of the early declarers on this, where January, February and March will see the much vaunted collapse that many people for many years have been trying to warn people about. I believe that the Passio Bank in Italy will be the first one to perhaps call in what we call a bail-in. That's where they raid people's bank accounts. They say it's quite legal. I think it's stealing, but it's called a bail-in. I think that's what will happen. I think that we will see a collapse in Italy financially. I think we'll see a financial collapse in the States, and I think we'll see one in Britain. Now, that could be anything from a devaluation of 20% to 50% of that currency. And what was really interesting was that for British people, online, that's the online version of the Daily Express newspaper, which is not just an establishment newspaper, it's an establishment newspaper very closely linked to the elite. The guy who went and did a report on Adolf Hitler dying in 1945 had close links with both the Daily Express newspaper and the Mail newspaper. So it's a mouthpiece for the elite. And they carried a half a page article saying that there was a massive banking crash. Now, they actually went for March. They've been agreeing. They said March of this year to come, there'll be a huge financial collapse. Half a page given to it. And we'd have to ask ourselves, why would the elite allow, and it wouldn't go unless it was allowed, why would they allow such a statement to be made, which is the sort of statement that I would be making on the alternative news? Why is the establishment now actually copying it? And the reason is that they're trying to slow down the stock exchange, because the more the stock exchange expands between now and March, the greater the collapse. And this article in the Daily Express newspaper actually said it was a once in a lifetime crash that was coming, and it would be like 1929, 1930, the Wall Street crash. So here at last, finally, is an established newspaper printing something that I and others have been warning about. And they're actually agreeing, I've said always February to March, but they're actually coming out in March. So we have a situation where everyone's agreeing now that there's a collapse coming. So that's for January, February, March. Please keep your eye on that. In terms of what's going on in Antarctica, we know that Buzz Aldrin, a very celebrated astronaut, went there, and there was a tweet from him, whether that was him or someone else on his behalf. Basically, the tweet said something along the lines that he'd been to Hollow Earth or Inner Earth for a meeting, and it's all evil down there. Something along those lines. We know that the vice president was actually dispatched to Iceland, and then from Iceland through to Antarctica, and also understand that he'd been part of a meeting as well. And we touched on this, I think, previously, where there has been a very important, call it a round table meeting between off-planet entities and the controllers of the planet. That meeting has not gone well for the controllers of the planet. Not gone well at all. On the 19th of this month, I think that's tomorrow, I might be right in saying that there's a very important date for the Americans. I think that, I don't know the terminology, but where all the representatives from the different states come and then they vote in accordance to the way that the public voted, so that, for instance, a particular American state might have 4 votes for Clinton and 6 votes for Trump. And so that's the official way that it's done, and I don't know the terminology for that. But I understand that there's going to be some form of, an English word, skullduggery. The Clintons might attempt to try something. I think it's very unlikely they can get away with it, because when, like in Britexit, when the people vote for something, if those in charge then say, we disregard what you've said, then the citizenry will turn around and say, then what is the point of having a government? What is the point of having a vote? If you're not going to listen to what we say or want, then we might as well reject all forms of authority. And it's for that reason that the British government have to honour Britexit, and that's why they have to honour the election of Donald Trump. No matter how much the elite dislike it or hate it, it has to go ahead. So I think we're going to go into 2017 stronger than when we came into 2016. I think what we've seen is the human race saying we've had enough, and we're beginning to show our, not displeasure, but the way we wish to see things going. We wish to see development. So looking back on the year, JP is correct. It's been quite rough. We've been saved from the brink several times. But each time we've seen advances. And, you know, if the elite weren't in a real pickle, they wouldn't be fighting in the way they are. And the reason they're fighting the way they are is because slowly but surely their fingernails are being clawed off, holding on to the ship. So I'm positive. I don't think it's negative. I think it's incredibly positive. And we're going into the new year with a lot of hope and a lot of love. All right. Before we start with the questions, JP did pose me a question. It was very long, and it was from Rose. I'm going to just deal with that question now because it's really important. Rose was saying that she had an idea for helping poverty, for breaking people away from the trap of money. And what she was saying in her question, it was more of a statement, although there was a question at the end of it, was maybe if you arrested all the bad people in the Vatican, you know, she mentioned the Bilderbergers, and you took all the money off them, and then you had not a credit card, but a debit card, and then you could give money to the people who needed it, the ordinary people. In other words, use all this evil money to support society. And she was sort of asking and posing the question, well, would this work? Am I just dreaming this, you know, or could it have a basis in reality? And I wanted to make that public, what she'd said, because I think it's a wonderful statement, and I just want to give my view on that. When money was created, a spell was put on it, so that it didn't just act as a form of exchange. It was like a drug, and it got into the system, it got into people's lives, and it got into the psyche, and it really infected people like a virus. There will come a time when people who have done evil deeds will have to decide to apologize for that or go down fighting, one of the two. And the assets that they have should be distributed amongst those that most need it. But there's a bigger thing than that, which is at the moment, under the present system, huge amounts, untold amounts of money taken legitimately or illegitimately as taxes from the people are being used to maintain organizations and projects which the public, A, have no knowledge of generally, and B, would be disgusted if they did know. And when that stops, there will be a massive amount of money suddenly that is left at the end of the year which can be used. You know, why is it that so much of American infrastructure is crumbling, bridges falling, municipal buildings in terrible state, the sidewalks with holes in, the roads with holes in, the streetlights not working, and yet money is going to secret space programs, money is going to gang stalking of individuals, surveillance technology, the most incredible amounts of money being taken away from taxpayers without their agreement, without their knowledge, and used for no other aspect than to control the citizens of those respective countries. And that has got to stop. So if we can stop that, and we can then get this money that's been brought in or gained by very evil means, if that can then be purified, then that becomes good money, if you like, and can be used for good. But that's only part of the problem. Money is the problem. And this, as far as I know, and as far as I'm concerned, from my own personal experience, this is the only planet in the multiverse that I am aware of that actually uses money. every other civilization that I have had experience of uses barter and trade. They do not use money. And I'll give an example here. Let's say, for instance, I have a statue and I've got two of these statues and I don't want it. So I say, I'll exchange this statue and you've got something that I want. But maybe what you want and what I want doesn't equally balance in terms of energy. So maybe you'd want two statues, but I've only got the one that I'm prepared to trade. So I would be required to give you something extra on top of that statue. So what I might do is say, you know, and under the present system is, okay, well, I've got pounds or dollars and I'll make the extra up like that. But we need to get away from that. So what we need to be able to do is to say, well, I've got this that I can do for you, or I can bring this about for you. Now, you know, it could be quite simple, like I'm a doctor dentist and I'll do some dental treatment. But we're not all doctors and dentists. So there may be other things in terms of energy that we can bring. And so this is the exchange system which we had on this planet. That's how it was all done until the Anunnaki and those prior to them came here and started to control the population by introducing a monetarized exchange system. And we need, as a planet, urgently to get away from the money system and move to a barter and trade system like every other planet. So that's really what I wanted to say. And just to say to everyone, because I know at the end we always nearly run out of time, that it's been an absolute privilege to have the opportunity through JP's really wonderful radio station to have spent this year speaking to people, talking to people. And we are so lucky that the elite haven't pulled the plug on this. I know for a fact that in America at the moment, they're seriously looking at curtailing anything that is an alternative view to the official. They've always talked about it, but I know it's really on the table now. Hillary Clinton has been saying that it lost her the election. Well, that's nonsense. But nevertheless, that's what she's saying. And, you know, that what they'd like to do is to close every radio station down that was giving the truth and just have their own. So I'm so grateful that I have had the opportunity to speak to people. I'm so grateful that I've been allowed to give the information that I've been able to give. And I'm so grateful for people for being so human, so strong, so clear thinking and loving. And no matter what these evil people throw at us, we know that we can make it. We can actually get through and we can do it, but we can do it together. If we work as individuals, it's not as effective. So we need to understand the tricks that the other side use, and we need to work together. So that's it. So with that, JP, let's go on with the questions.
Well, there's a couple of things I want to add. One of them is we've had a lot of fake Simon Parks YouTube accounts. So, brothers and sisters, if you're listening to this and there are adverts every 5 or 10 minutes... then you're not listening to Studio 9 Jam, which is the official... it's a long story why it's called Studio 9 Jam, but it's a kind of traditional thing and I couldn't rename it. Anyway, so that's my official channel, Studio 9 Jam, which is where you'll find all the original Simon Parks Connecting Consciousness shows, as well as other things like Andronicus Transmission. So that's the first one. And then there was another one... which has completely escaped. Oh yes, that's right. During the Standing Rock protest, because a large number of people gathered together, Simon, they actually created an Ubuntu society spontaneously. We have boots on the ground. The gentleman who has a show next week at this, in this same slot, Audrey Ewers, is there, and he's been observing. I mean, it's been funny because he's been talking about we really need to set up Ubuntu societies, and then he goes to Standing Rock, and that's what's happening. It's a thing that is, it's going to be the beginning of something. I believe it's like a crystal seed crystal that will then crystallize out to through the consciousness. So anyway, that's what I had to say. So, right, so where shall we start? Let's go. So that was actually today's first question in the list. So now I can start scrolling up. There we go. Ah, there we go. Yes, here we go. From Emerald Isle. Hello, Simon. When a soul incarnates on Earth, does its journey differ if conception and birth are in the same year? What impact, if any, does time, day and month of the birth have on above? Wishing you, JP, and your families peace, love, joy and happiness throughout our multiverse.
Wow, thank you. Yeah. It does have an effect, and that's why astrology, there's so much truth to it. When a soul incarnates, it's choosing a body, or in some cases the body is chosen for it, and it should be choosing a body that matches the frequency, the resonation of that particular soul. And if there are very influential conjunctions of stars and planets, that has an effect upon the energy and will mean that that individual, when he or she grows up, will have leanings towards certain things. So in my case, when I had my astrology chart done, nearly everything, the houses, were down in the bottom, what would be 6 o'clock. And Mercury played a huge, important part in that. And many people who have a job, a life choice, will find that it normally, not exclusively, matches the sort of choices that an astrologist would say they should do. So if you were supposed to work, let's say, with the oceans, and you had a star sign Pisces, or you had a star sign that showed you were connected to the water, then you're more likely to be happy in that job than if you were working with the earth as such, or something else. So it does have an effect. And unfortunately, the elite and the evil element of the elite understand that. And there is a, I don't know that war is the right word, but there is a tug of war that goes on when trying to get a particular individual incarnated on the planet. And many, many mothers will say, well, the baby was due for this date, but it was either early or late. And as far as the doctors are concerned, this is a medical reason, biological reason. Perhaps in some cases it is. But in other cases, that soul is having to wait or hold off to incarnate on a particularly auspicious day, or it's going to come in early because it doesn't want to come in on the particular date that it was destined to come in on, because maybe there's something not good that's aligned on that day. So the battle, for want of a better word, that we all face when we are alive on this planet has already started before we're even incarnated. You know, and those of us who've had previous lives, and most have, that has gone on in those lives. It's not just, oh, we came to Earth and here we go. For many people, this is a continuation of their life as journey. And I mean life in terms of the soul, not in terms of the physical body. So yes, I absolutely agree with that, but the caveat I add is that both positive and negative forces will try to influence the birth date of any new baby being born. So I hope that helps.
I hope it does too. So this is a question from Evie, and she actually had a ray reading from me, and I picked up a kind of secondary energy there, and I mentioned she should investigate walk-ins. So she's in that investigation. Simon, could you ask Simon what is his perspective and experience with walk-ins? You both are great.
Oh, how kind. Thank you. Sometimes it's easy to detect a walk-in, other times it's not. Most walk-ins occur because the new soul wishes not to be detected, and therefore it'll take a very low profile. Human babies are incredibly vulnerable, and if you have a particular soul that is destined to come here and play a role, play a job, and comes from a lineage that is traditionally hostile to the elite, then why would you incarnate here as a baby? Because you're very easy to be got at and hurt. Many are, but generally, isn't it better that you would walk in when that human body was 20 years old or 30 years old or 40 years old? Because then you are more capable of protecting yourself. And I have said that every year, black magicians scan predominantly the Western world for live births, and they will map or log particularly challenging or bloodline lineage souls that are incarnating on the planet. So let's say, for instance, we'll call it Child A. Child A is born, and when the black magicians do the sweep, it comes up as a reptilian soul of no high lineage. As far as they're concerned, that's absolutely fine. That's not a problem to us. So what will happen maybe is that when that child reaches 12 or 14 or whatever it is, then there's a swap, and the new soul comes in, which is a threat to the elite, but will not be picked up for some time to come, because then the sweeping of adults is much less than it is for new births. So that is the major reason why walk-ins occur. And there are others. But what for me, because that to me is like, that's normal, but what is exciting is when a reptilian soul leaves the body and a Palladian soul comes in. What is the agreement between two opposing forces that should actually be at each other's throats, yet they are working together? So the reptilian soul has said, I'll come in and I'll have this body for the first 10 or 15 years, and then you can come in and have it afterwards. Now, that means they can work together. You know, all this nonsense about reptilians and Palladians fight each other 100%. There are small groups and pockets that will work together for the greater good. And some people can have walk-ins more than once or twice. You might have two or three walk-ins. One of my clients, I did see three walk-ins. And one of the exciting things I do, if they got it, is to say, get all your photographs that you have, every photograph you've got, and then hold them up to the Skype camera for me. And I will look at those pictures and I will tell you at what age you changed and what came in and what left. And time and time again, the client has said to me, well, I remember this happened. I had a near-death experience, or I nearly drowned. Or, you know, you're right, when I was 4 years old, this happened. It was in a terrible car crash. And so, you know, they then have this physical memory, which then they understand what gave the opportunity for this soul change. So I see walk-ins as positive. I see it as an agreement between everyone concerned. And it's far more common than you would think. So thank you for the question.
So Simon, he said, rather interested. So it's possible that somebody could possibly have had a really major bike accident, and then at the age of 25 woke up somehow refreshed.
Yes, it normally is, because sometimes the original soul doesn't want to leave the body. And the only way to do that is to temporarily die, so that the soul, you see, the thing is, when the physical body dies, it's a law of the universe. That soul cannot be sustained in that body and goes. Now, like near-death experiences, if the body, is not destined to die, it's destined to nearly die, then the soul will return back. But the soul will only stay in a body or return to a body when it's going to recover and work on. But if the body appears to be completely shut down, then the soul will leave And then that's the opportunity for the new one to come in. I mean, there I talked about, I didn't like the word war, but they try to fight each other to incarnate in a baby. You know, let's say, for instance, on the third week or the sixth week, whatever it is, 14th week, a soul traditionally enters a developing child in its mother's womb. Well, both sides, if that's an interesting child with an interesting projected history, both sides will try to beat the other sometimes to be the first to get into that baby. I mean, it's an incredible situation. So, normally through near death, but not exclusively. You don't have to have a near death experience to have a walk-in. If it's something that's been agreed, you don't need to die like that. Literally one soul will go and another will come in. Now there are instances, and I think it's wonderful, I think it's fascinating, where one soul doesn't leave the body, but the new soul comes in. See, one of the questions I'll always ask my clients is, when there's a possibility of a walk-in, I'll say, did you have any toys when you were a kid? And I'll say, usually yes. What toys did you have? We call them soft toys in England, but I think the Americans refer to them as plush toys. So did you have a toy? Did you give it a name? Now, somebody who's had a soul walk in won't actually remember the name of the toys if the exchange has occurred afterwards, unless, of course, they've seen photographs or they've talked to family and friends. But when somebody has a very clear memory of everything, but is not the same soul that they were born in, then both souls are operating together in that physical body. And they both decided they want to experience and share together. Now, that's brilliant. Now, I've had about 5 clients in the last 2 years with that. It's a wonderful topic. I mustn't go on anymore. Thank you, JP.
No, it's fascinating. And maybe there's a TV show to be made out of one of those scenarios, eh?
Yeah, you know, just
two people. The film, who was that with Steve Martin? All of Me, where a soul is accidentally transferred into from this rich woman into this guy on the street.
I've not seen that, but that sounds exactly what I'm talking about.
Good Christmas film, All of Me by Steve Martin. Very funny, very brilliant, brilliant. Lots of levels. You'd like it. So his. Next question. I mean, really, was there any? I don't want to keep corollarizing your questions. Anyway, thank you very, very much for that, Simon. Because I think there's a lot of walk-ins in this field, because we all had to get here. It's a bit of a go freelance. See how you get to this moment, because a lot of people need to be here at this crossing.
Yes.
Uh-huh. So. Now, here we go. Strange dreams. Yeah, this may even be part of the thread from Jijo or Jijo or Yiyo, Matthew. Anyway, hello, JP and Simon. A few months back, I had a strange dream where I was in a spaceship in outer space. I remember looking out of a window and watching Saturn passing by. It was very similar to being in a train, and then we approached Earth, where I saw a green tunnel coming out. I was reminded of the cartoon character Shrek, and then I woke up. I had read that being in a spaceship meant that our DNA was upgraded. Is this true? And what are your thoughts on my dream? Thank you both for your hard work and dedication, and may God bless you both.
Oh, thank you very much. No, being in a spaceship does not automatically upgrade your DNA, but being in a spaceship and being subject to certain processes could. Just because you leave the third dimension, it doesn't automatically upgrade, because this is about your soul and it's about your development and your spirituality and your ability to, you know, transfer to a higher realm. And going in a electronic device like a spaceship won't do that. But there are certain things on a spaceship that can bring that forward. First of all, we've got to be very, very careful that we assume you've been on a spaceship. I don't think I got into trouble, but I think I had difficulty trying to explain this to somebody who immediately thought that if you hadn't done what you said you'd done, then it didn't count. And I'll give an example. When I was probably between the ages of, I don't know, 5 and 7, an entity appeared in what was the sitting room, lifted me up, and put me on the coffee table. So I must have been quite small to stand on what was quite a flimsy coffee table, late '60s, mid '60s to late '60s coffee table. And so I'd look up at the ceiling. So I'm looking at the ceiling of the front room, and suddenly the ceiling just changed. It was black and there were stars, and I appeared to be looking at stars. Now, I wasn't in a spaceship. I knew that I wasn't. I was in my front room, but this entity had gone into my mind, and I could see, you know, the starry sky. Now, unfortunately, there are many researchers, and I'm not a researcher, and I always make that clear. There are many researchers who are not interested now. Oh, you didn't go on a spaceship. You didn't look out a window. You know, I'm not interested. Well, that's nonsense. Because a non-human or an alien entity came into that person's life, excuse me, and gave them an experience. And did so because it's energy cheaper to engage like that than it is to take you off the Earth, put you in a spaceship and take you to Saturn. It doesn't mean that you didn't go to Saturn. All I'm saying is that we have to be careful that we don't interpret what we remember in a very black and white way. And it doesn't in any shape devalue the experience that you've had. It's most takes from the planet are energy takes. Your physical body is left in place and your energy soul is taken out. Occasionally, your physical body is taken. And I would say of every 12 takes I've had, maybe only one is a physical take. And on one occasion, I remember in the morning, my glasses on the floor bent and tangled up, because clearly people who understand about portals, sometimes you can't take metal things through a portal, generally speaking. And so I know that was a physical take, my body, and I had memory with that. Often when we see things, we are either seeing them because they want us to see them, or we have been given downtime to observe and look. And it's very traditional, crazy as it sounds, it's very traditional when on a real spaceship to be allowed to wander around certain parts of it. It literally will give you the tour, or this is where you can be. You can go into any of these areas, but you can't go into this area. So you give free will. You can wander around and have a look. But without more information, it's very difficult, you know, for me or anyone else to give a more definitive answer on that. Also remember that what appears to be a window looking out on a certain planet or star may not be. It may be what I call a viewing screen, like a television. It looks like a window, but it's actually just showing you what they want to show you. I'll get an example where I've been on a craft or a underground base, and I've gone into a room and there are probably 50 people, and it's like a cinema, and that's exactly what it is. They're all sitting in chairs that you would in a cinema, and there's a film playing out, though I don't see a projector. And what I clearly remember is a picture of the Earth, and suddenly the Earth exploding. And then that was the end of the film, the end of the presentation, and everybody gets up, they're all in a bit of a trance, and then out they go. And the point here was, unless you look after your Earth, unless you do something, you're going to lose it. And so off-planet entities try to give messages to humans that they think are spiritual or who will become spiritual, and they try to sow the seeds that will make those individuals champions for good causes. And of course the bad guys do exactly the same. But in this case, it was the Earth is blowing up, and this is what will happen down this timeline unless you do something to try to help it. Now, we didn't really see the Earth blow up. We saw a presentation of it. But you might think that you were looking out the window seeing the Earth really blow up. So we do have to be very careful. And hopefully the questioner might get more memory back or more dreams. Most memories come back as dreams because it's less traumatic for you to have a dream than to have a flashback memory. So keep at it, and, you know, see if you get any more snippets of information that come through. Thank you for writing in.
Excellent, excellent. So, yeah, you were saying once that, skibbly. That's really cutting through. You were saying that real dreams are, you know, lucid dreams, or when you're really in a place, they're in colour, and dreams are kind of in black and white, or is that...
Astral. When you're on the astral, you'll normally see in black and white, normally. Not exclusively, but astral sees in black and white, and if you're seeing in colour, then you are actually physically in that position. Yes.
Okay. Wow, you're a popular man today.
Oh, it's like this all the time. It's like all the time. Yeah. It's fine. Just ignore it.
Right. So, Nin. Oh, yeah. Filippo. Dear Simon, could you please tell us about the Knights Templar? It is difficult to evaluate what is true and what is not with all the disinformation on the web. They are mostly pictured in a negative way, and their emblem is pictured in the Swiss flag, in the Alfa Romeo emblem, and the Visconti of Milan flag, or Visconti of Milan. What's their real role in history, and what could be their role in the current transition? Do you know? Hey, this is not finished yet. Hang on. Do you know Leo Zagami? He started a new Templar order this year in Italy. Thank you for your kindness. Filippo from Verona. A gentleman from a Verona. Oh, excellent. Anyway, so there you go. So, Knights Templars.
We don't have enough time to cover the topic in the way it needs to be covered, because it is a radio show all in itself, several radio shows.
Maybe we need, somebody needs to take a note of these things, and we'll do webinars.
Okay. Well, that would be a really good idea for 2017. Why don't we?
Yeah, let's start that.
I think you might have to get a bit of a donation going for the radio show if you do that though. I think that of all the organizations, and I know that this is going to upset some people, and I'm sorry, but the Knights Templars are probably the most palatable of all of the secret societies. And the reason for that is that the Templars, their reason for existence is to protect sacred objects. That is the reason that the Templars went to fight the Crusades, because they wanted to go to King Solomon's temple and see what treasures were there and get them. What happened was that they did indeed gain certain artifacts, and they realized that they couldn't allow these artifacts to fall into the hands of anybody, because at that time on the planet, and that's still the case now by and large, people would attempt to use them for bad purposes. War, or make money, or deprive people of things, whatever. That it's the classic science fiction thing where, if you remember Forbidden Planet, where the guy, I think he's played by Walter Pidgeon, he says, you know, I have stumbled upon all this technology and I will release it to humanity as I feel fit. I will release a little bit here, I'll release a little bit there. It's a little bit like what the elite do when, you know, when the Roswell craft came down. Over a period of years, they released certain bits of technology to their friends in the civilian corporate side so that their friends could make a great deal of money. but the Templars, what they're doing is they're hiding things because these things are so powerful that they believe, excuse me, rightly or wrongly, that if they fell into, quote unquote, the wrong hands, they could be used for very evil purposes. We're talking about things like the Table of Testament, Ark of the Covenant. Many of them are actually not physical objects. They are spells, or they are incantations, or they are keys of a code that make up several bits, and when the several bits are put together, they make a complete thing which could make something happen. So that is how the Templars are now. They will look to see what needs to be saved and protected, and they will then take that particular thing under their wing and then protect it. As to what's good or bad, you can't actually go along those lines with these organizations, because you could have one arm of it that is actually working for very positive aims, and then you could have another arm of it that's working completely differently. Now, they won't be in the same building, but they will have different energetic or magical connections to the planet and the history of the planet. And some of them see themselves as saviors, some of them see themselves as protectors. And so the Templars' history is one of elitism, that's just a fact, magic, that's a fact as well, and control. And they were very connected with Italy, and then they split from Italy, and they're no longer part of the mainstream Illuminati. So you would have the Freemasons and the Templars who do not get on. Yeah, they will send delegates to certain meetings, but you will not get Knights Templars and Freemasons actively associating together, because they are different. Now, the Templars see the Freemasons as the upstarts, the money makers, not really serious, whereas the Freemasons see the Templars as old-fashioned and on the wrong road. So even within an elite organization, there are subsections within subsections. And I said we could go on for ages, but you know, that, I hope that helps in a little way anyway. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Simon. I mean, that is a good idea, and maybe that's one of the subjects we can cover. You know, what's that? What's that thing in Harry Potter? Defense against the dark arts as well.
I mean, one of the emblems, of course. Interestingly enough, I just throw this in before we move on to the next question.
Yeah.
The Templars, of course, were skull and crossbones. Now, Americans will immediately think of Bush and the Skull and Crossbones organization. The Skull and Crossbones also is the flag of the pirates, and that's where the Templars originally had all their beginnings, and the Skull and Crossbones are the flag. And, of course, in the Second World War, the Nazis, the SS, had the Skull and Crossbones as part of their emblem. So we need to understand that it's incredibly complicated. And unfortunately, most commentators just hook on to, I don't know, the last 10 years or the last 5 years, and they'll bang on about that. But they don't understand that the history or the trajectory of these organizations and why they are the way they are. You cannot begin to grasp something unless you understand it, when it first occurred, what has happened to it, what's happened within it, and where it's going. And once you can put all those pieces together, then you can model or project the status of that organization and where it might be going. And that's why, coming back now, I've said that of all the organizations, secret societies, the Templars are probably the most open to negotiation of all of the secret societies. So, yeah. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you. So, last question before the break. All right. There are many people who ask your opinion on various other people and their teachings and their what they say and this and that to try and figure out what's going on. But it muddies the water. Do you want to comment on the Gaiam TV people? Or should we move on for nothing else?
Well, we'll move on, but I don't want to appear rude to the questioner, because I don't want to do that. The important thing is that we are in a very fragile position, and I would like all people who speak the truth, even if we bang on about our own topic, our own subject, that we should perhaps realize that we are hopefully all working together for a positive outcome. And, you know, there's enough fraction in the world breaking things up, and it's not helpful to, you know, say, well, in my opinion, this or my opinion, that, when we're talking about other people. And I've always said, and I'm on record, I hope, enough times, trust yourself. Ask your own soul what you think about a person. Now, I mean, if I know someone's a paedophile or a black magician, I will say so. I have no fear. But if, you know, someone is a commentator or a researcher, then, you know, I generally won't get involved. And so that's why, you know, when people attack me, and I just think, well, let the audience the wider audience observe this, because I don't attack people. I don't do that unless there's a damn good reason for it. And yet they get all this sniping, and we all get it. All of us who are working for positive ends get this, you know, never to your face. It's always behind your back. And, you know, public aren't stupid, and they'll think, well, you know, why is X or Y being attacked like this? And when you look into it, you can see that they're either paid to do it, or they've got some bee in their bonnet, or they've been energetically attacked themselves. So I generally don't pass a comment on another person, because, frankly, I wouldn't expect them to pass a comment on me. But that's not to say that your question wasn't valid, but I would ask you to make a choice yourself. So thank you.
I think that actually covers quite a lot of that. So,
I think we get one more in quick.
Come on. Moving in to Gita, with love and appreciation for your clear intent and action and your love and service to Earth, this exquisite living library. Question, please speak of unicorns. Who, what, where, when, how, why? My apologies. I pledge a donation to your website. I will get it to you somehow. However, PayPal is not an option. Please email me bank details if a transfer is viable. Wow.
Well, that's really kind. I don't do that, because I'm sure there are plenty of evil people who would love my bank details, simply because they would just do all hell to it. If you can't send me a donation by PayPal, then just send me some love. Okay? That's just absolutely fine. I know it doesn't buy me bread, but it gives me the strength to know that people actually love and care. So if you can't make a donation, then just send me the love. That's absolutely fine.
Yeah. Vote with your heart.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. That was so emotional, I can't remember what the question was. What was the question again?
Unicorns.
Einhorn. Okay. Well, I have never ever seen a fairy in real life, but I've seen one captured on film. And I know the source of that, and I know that's absolutely genuine. So I've never seen a unicorn. I've never seen it live on a film. But I know there is enough history for it to be based on reality. You know, it does annoy me, and that's a strong word here. It does annoy me when somebody can believe in Archangel Michael, but can't believe in a unicorn or can't believe in a fairy. So, you know, it's a bit like, I won't mention his name. It's a bit like somebody who basically said, I believe in the grey aliens. This is a radio show I did 3 or 4 years back, and he didn't like me. I believe in the grey aliens. And, you know, he said to me, you know, your aliens aren't real. Right. So I replied, oh, so your aliens are better than my aliens. All right. So yes. Why can't there be a unicorn? Why can't there be a Sasquatch, a Bigfoot? Why can't there be Nessie, the Loch Ness Monster? You know, why can't there be? I mean, remember this. 65 million years ago, before part of Marduk or Planet X struck this planet and wiped the dinosaurs out, because that's what actually killed the dinosaurs. But 65 million years ago, before this asteroid element struck and hit us, gravity was only 1/3 of the gravity of today. The biggest animal on the planet now is an elephant. Of course, in a whale in the water, but the water buoys up the animal. But on the planet, the largest animal is an elephant. So how in goodness name could a Diplodocus or a Brontosaurus or anything like that, which is many, many times bigger than an elephant, how could that live? It couldn't live now, because the gravitational strength would just break the bones of the animal. It just couldn't move about. The only way it could happen is if gravity was 1/3 that of now. That's what this planet has gone through. It's an evolution. It changes. It's a living being. So we can go through energy hotspots where something like a unicorn or a fairy can survive in a particular location, a geographical location, and it's the right place for that. And then what happens is, of course, people come along and hunt them and kill them, and they can be wiped out. Or if we stop believing in them, and I know this sounds very Harry Potterish, but if we stop believing in something, they don't go away. We just don't see them anymore, because we do not accept the possibility of it. You take a 3-year-old child to somewhere like in Southern Ireland, they will see fairies, because nobody at school told them fairies don't exist. As soon as they go to school and they're told fairies don't exist, Most of those children do not see fairies. Doesn't mean the fairies go away. It means that their child has been programmed not to see them. You know, I'd love when I get the chance, hopefully one day, to really change the control system on this planet, because that's what I'm out to do. To have a series, I'm going to say the word, ladybird books, because they're very popular in Britain at the moment. But fairies are true. Unicorns are true. Sasquatch is true. And then have a control group of school children, and they grow up believing in unicorns, fairies and Sasquatch. They'd see them because they wouldn't be a threat to those creatures. So anyway, we've run out of time. So we're going to have a tea break now. And I'll be back in a couple of minutes. Lovely.
So we are. This is a couple of friends of mine, the Sons of Arca. And this is about the ancient temples in the Southern Cape, of the Sons of Arca there. With ancient temples.
Ancient temples.
Cool. And there I am.
There you are.
Here I am. Simon Parks, there you are.
Yes, indeed.
Did you get your tea? Right. So now, from unicorns. Right. Okay. All right. Here's a good one. Oh, yes. Yes, nice meaty one. Couple of minutes long, all right. Stefan Nielsen, thank you for helping in this final battle, Simon, and thank you, JP, for transmitting CC communication. Question. I know Cabal is trying to negotiate a deal, including a partial disclosure and a department erasure in return for being allowed to escape Earth. Has the Cabal surrendered all ICC bases and technology so we can finally start to free the slaves? Many warriors are spending more and more of their time in non-waking state to evacuate these people. We need to develop waking state abilities to transcend dimensional traps and fake looping timelines. We will never stop fighting for the freedom of all spices? I think it's auto...
Species.
Yeah, I think it's a... Oh, species. Thank you, messages. I think it was an autocorrect thing going on there. Do you get the question now?
Yeah, I do. It's very complicated. I like the one about the auto loops because I know what the question
is. Yeah, the fake looping timelines. There's stuff going on there, isn't there?
Yeah. right. Using the term cabal, it's a term that is used, but it isn't very accurate, I'm afraid. It's about bloodlines, and that's a word that we've used, but it's actually very accurate because you can be part of the cabal, but you can be a separate part of it. When I was at school, don't do it now, I don't believe, but you could be the same year, so year 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, but your class would be graded A, B, C, or D. You know, if you were bright, you'd be in class A, and if you were deemed a dunce, you'd be in D. So in the same way, a elite group is divided into elements within it. No, they haven't given up all the bases, all the technology, all the hidden, because they're using it to bargain. That's what these people do. They're holding stuff back to bargain. Some of the stuff they're asking for can't be given, but they know that. You know, you start in a negotiation with a certain point preparing to come down. The question is, the other side, how far do they expect you to come down? And when you get a disparity between group A that says, well, I'll come down two notches, but group B that says, I want you to come down four notches, then you get into the difficult standoff positions where people walk out of meetings or, you know, the usual stuff. The lower part of the top echelon are trying to do a deal because, as I've said before, there isn't so much negative energy on their hands. So they would be in a position to be cleansed. But there are quite a few people in the highest point that don't choose that, and the questioner is correct, and want their ticket off the planet. And although the questioner hasn't said that, the exit is blocked. So if they want to get off the planet, they've got to have the door opened for them. Well, that door won't be opened for them unless there is some deal. I don't like the word, but that's in effect what it will be. because we need that energy off the planet. It's why it's worth doing a deal, because we want that nastiness gone, because then if you remove that nastiness, then its creational force won't be able to manifest in the physical here. So if you take away a particular sort of person or persons, then wars suddenly dry up on the planet, or the need for nuclear weapons begins to reduce because you're taking that energy away. So specific questions been asked here. No, they've not given up all the bases. No, they've not given up all their secrets, because they're holding on to them for horse trading. There are booby traps. And this looping of time and looping of energy is a booby trap that have been placed. There's also, you may or may not have mentioned this in your question directly, but what some of these people want is communities mind wiped. They want to start afresh. It's a bit like someone who is a legitimate criminal, legitimate meaning they really did do a crime, they wasn't fitted up. They did a crime, they went to prison, they served a long prison sentence, they then come back, and they can't be accepted into the community because of what they've done. Even though they have paid their price or paid their debt to society, they will not be accepted. So they get a fake name, they get a new name, they get a new address. It's all changed for them. Now, some of these elite people want the same thing, but they want it in this advanced technology where they could be put into a community of maybe 25,000 and everybody in that community gets a mind wipe and doesn't know who they are, except they see them the first day move in. Now, that's actually what they're asking for, some of these people. Or they want a collective mind wipe, and that's been resisted. But it would be possible to give people a new name, a new identity, a new home, move them and their family. Many of these people have got kids, you know, and move them out. There's a lot going on. The very top people just want off the planet. But here's the funny part. I think it's funny. I actually think it's really amusing, because when this was all set up, these people began to take control themselves. They stopped reporting back to a higher form, and they tried to be a god. Now, it's all going wrong for them. Now, the very top people don't want them. These are the people off the planet. They don't actually want them, because from their perspective, these people have become disloyal. And it's like mutiny on the bounty. You've mutinied on the planet. We put you in charge of the planet and you've mutinied. You've tried to take over. Now you want us to help you. So a lot of these people are trapped, and they're having to use money, power, whatever it is, to try to buy a place at some location off this planet. It's laughable to see the horse trading going on and the panic. When these guys, 20 years ago or so, got into the positions that allowed them to climb up the ladder, they thought it was a done deal. They thought the human race were stupid, done for, and they could do what they wanted. And then what happened was that the human race proved it has an indomitable spirit and couldn't be broken. And that although there were setbacks, there were advances. And slowly but surely, the control mechanism of this very small, use the questioner's cabal, were blocked in. They couldn't move. And so from a position of very almost total power, in a very short period of years, it's been reversed. And they are now really, really desperate. And, you know, we've often said, haven't we, there's nothing worse than a cornered dog. But some of these cornered dogs are actually trying to do a deal, and that's what the questioner is informing. And I think you're absolutely right. You don't give in. You do not give in. You fight for truth and justice. You know, you've got to believe in it. That's what you came to the planet for. You came to the planet to do a job, and nothing should deflect you from carrying out what you said you would do. And you know, that's the way it is. You know, you come here to whoever, whatever, however it might be, to do something positive with the people, for the people, doesn't matter. Do not allow yourself to be deflected or prevented. And these bad guys will throw everything at you right up to 1 second to midnight. And they usually attack you through other people, through your friends, your family. They use the machinery of government, whatever it might be. But you've got to hold true to it, and you've got to believe in it, because that's what you did. And I say it without any remorse, or I don't mean to be rude, but for every person who came here to do something good, when they say, look, I've had enough of this, who picks up that job? Now, if you're lucky, somebody comes forward and takes the job, but that normally not what happens. It falls on the rest of the people who are left. And if you get people leaving, you have a diminishing, smaller and smaller group of active people, and they're having to take on more and more heavy energy work. And what we're seeing is the opposite. We're seeing more people now waking up, more people coming on, and so it's lightening the load. And that's what we need to be. We need to be working as a big team, working together, although we may never see each other, but we'll know it. So a really good question. You know your stuff. You're obviously involved. You understand it. The answer is no, they're still fighting. So thank you for your question.
So, from Spencer. Hello, Simon. I've noticed that every time there is a full moon on the sky, I got a massive headache on that particular day that seems to last forever. I wonder if this is a simple coincidence. Do you think the moon could affect me in any way? Thank you.
Well, it could be a simple coincidence. It could be, let's just look at the 3D stuff first of all. It could be that you got into a pattern where every time there's a full moon, you expect a headache. And lo and behold, you create, it's a bit of a throwaway statement, you create your own reality. You create a headache. That can happen. On the other hand, there could be another reason for it. I think you'd have to have a clear understanding of your childhood and your parents, and you would have to have some memory of anything unusual that occurred to you. The moon is used by negative elites as not just a symbol, but as a trigger. Remember that Princess Diana, who is the moon goddess, was murdered in the moon tunnel. And so she was already destined for work with the moon. And this is something that the satanic elite use very regularly. So it may be, if you can think back to something in your childhood or your earlier years that could give you some indication of a pattern or some activity that's occurred, that might begin to explain why the full moon affects you, then that's a help. Sleepwalking is linked to the full moon, and there was a German chap who did a great deal of research in this quite a while back, and he found that people who were prone to sleepwalking, when a full moon was on and the curtains were open, they would invariably get up and walk around. But if you got very, very heavy, thick curtains to keep the moonlight out, it dramatically reduced their sleepwalking. And this is about waves of light energy. And, you know, people like the CIA have done quite a lot of work on light wave energy to take over or take control of a person's mind or put suggestions into them. So without any more information from the questioner, it's really difficult. I cannot answer that. I don't think anybody could. You'd have to have lots of background information about that individual. Remember Black Knight satellites. Black Knight satellites are very much connected with the moon and astrology, activating with super soldiers. I don't like the word, but that's common parlance. Assassins is a much nicer word in terms of what it actually means. It's a more accurate word. So the moon is generally a negative thing because it is an artificial satellite. It is not a natural. The original moon was natural, but what we have now is an artificial satellite. So anything that's connected or linked to that now is artificial, and we would think it very suspect. So thank you for your question.
Thank you. Sean David Morton says, hello. He says, do it in my best Sean Connery accent. So, hello. Hey, yeah, so, from from Sean to before shapeshifting. From Sean to shapeshifting. Before my question, I would like to extend to everybody, especially Simon, who I feel a deep connection with, a wonderful and merry Christmas. I hope everybody gets to connect with family at this time of year. Anyway, I was having a discussion about personal family issues with my mother in our kitchen, and as we were talking, my mother and I both noticed that right before our eyes, I grew a few inches. I stopped the conversation to ask my mum if she noticed if I grew taller, and she said, "Oh my God, you noticed that too. You did grow." We were both stunned, and my mum needed to be held because she was so freaked out. My mum said that she witnessed my legs grew, my torso grew, and my head grew, as if I was being inflated, she said. I wasn't angry, but I was passionate and really into what I was saying. I got a bit lightheaded when it happened, and we both saw my body shrink back to normal size. Was this a form of shapeshifting? If so, which DNA strand could I have connected to in order to grow like that? My mum didn't notice anything with my eyes because she was too blown away by the growing. She said no scales, no colour differentiation, nothing but growing. Have you heard of this before? Love and light to everyone. So, that's from Paul.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for the the nice Christmas holiday words. Two possibilities. No, you would have, or your mother would have noticed, I think, scaly body or colour skin change or eyes. It doesn't matter how blown away she was, I think she would have noticed your eyes change. The Elohim, an interesting name. We think about when there were giants on the earth. Remember again, when gravity was much less than it is now. Not perhaps as much as it was 65 million years ago, but certainly gravity has only been what it is over a fairly recent time. Two possibilities. The first one, which we'd have to discount because according to your statement, you returned to normal size very quickly, but I'll just give it to you. If your physical body is taken from this planet and placed in a spacecraft in zero gravity, you will grow to a maximum of 3 inches. Basically, the gravity compresses your spine and all your bones. You take away that, that's what the astronauts, that's why they're taller when they spend a lot of time in space, that you could expand. Now, people would say, well, no, because, you know, he was there 1 minute talking to his mother and then it happened. Well, the thing is that they have the technology to take you in mid-conversation. The person you're talking to is absolutely no understanding of what's happened. They are sort of put into freeze time. You might go and do 2 days away, but be returned maybe 3 to 4 seconds after they took you. Well, that's quite a huge exaggeration. That does happen, but it might be they take you for an hour or 2 hours, and then they can put you back, return you just a few seconds after they took you clockwise. Then your body would be up to a maximum of 3 inches taller. But it takes hours to return back to your normal size. Your bones and body can't just go snap back into what it was. It can't work like that. It gradually does it. And I have monitored an individual over a week's period and counted 3 takes where this particular individual grew 2.5 to 3 inches 3 times in a week. But it took half a day for them to return to their normal size. However, if the recollection is correct that you're giving, it's true, that basically you just immediately return to your normal size, then that is shape-shifting, but it is not physically shape-shifting. Your body did not actually grow, but it presented a holographic image of its major component to the individual concerned. So the other person is looking at you and it's a bit like shining, running a film over you, you know, doing a holographic imprint. So you appear to grow. Actually, you didn't, but the energy overlay did. And so the person would see that, which would be quite shocking for them. That's the only way to explain you returning back because, you know, we all have human DNA, we all have a human skeleton and a structure to us, and you just cannot take a bone, stretch it so many inches and then just compress it back again. It would just shatter. You just cannot do that in the third dimension. But you can present this holographic image, not as uncommon as you might think. But your final point was, what DNA strand is that? And it will be the one of the giants, the Elohim. Literally, you will be carrying an element that allows your soul to say, I believe in this, I really strongly believe in this, I need power, I need strength, this is my truth. And so it activates, and you go into something that you passionately believe in. And then the energy is burnt up very quickly and you return back. So I don't laugh at that at all. I think that's perfectly acceptable, but I don't believe that you've physically changed. I believe that you projected from within yourself an image of what you were once a long time ago. So thank you for the question.
So, an old Elohim. So those were the giants, because everybody's talking about the Elohim, and everybody seems to have a different picture of them.
Well, I know, and I mean, you stop 10 people in the street. No, you couldn't really, but you stop 10
people. Not these days.
No, you stop 10 people coming out of a conference. Here we go. That's better. Coming out of an awareness conference, and you ask them who were the ELM, or you ask them who the Anunnaki were, and you really get such a lot of different answers, the Anunnaki. I mean, most people have a different view of the Anunnaki than I have. And you know what? Let them have the view. That's the way it is. But, yes, in this case, this guy is connecting with a giant, strain of DNA.
Excellent. Right. Well, now here from Sunderland,
just up the road.
Just up road. Love listening to your show, Simon and JP. Thanks for your hard work. My question is regarding Earth and trying to get my head around how our dimension works. Is it even possible for a human to leave the planet in a physical body, as this would seem to me to be akin to pulling somebody out of a television set and into your living room? Is the three-dimensional body not restricted to its place of origin, as such would be stepping outside of its realm to leave Earth?
Oh, good question.
May your will stay strong. It is a very interesting question.
It's a good question, but the premise is inaccurate. But that's what this is about. It's about opening up for debate. The questioner may be interested to learn that I have worked in Sunderland, a place called Hendon. I worked for Sunderland City Council for 2 years. I had some fun. The Sunderland people were lovely, actually. Unfortunately, you know, the Southerners give people from the Northeast bad press, but I always found I was very well accepted in Sunderland. Okay, that's my Sunderland plug. You can, in a third dimensional body, be out of this dimension. It's about your soul. If your soul has a contract with the planet, it cannot leave for long. I was once told that I could not be off the planet for very long, and therefore my time out had to be time limited, and I had to come back. And that's why the longest that I'm aware of that I've ever been off the planet is 2 days. Whereas, you know, I've read books from very genuine people who've spent weeks off the planet, but that's because they were allowed to do that. Their agreement or their contract, if they had one, allowed them to come and go. But some of us are fixed, shall we say, here, because that's where the energy fixing is. You can go into the fourth dimension, and what can happen if you are taken too quickly in your physical body, or let's say you have a clone of you in the fourth, we're getting complicated now, but that's what this show is about. If you have a clone of you in the fourth dimension, and there's real you in the third, so your energy soul is whipped out of your third dimensional body, is transferred across and stuck into a clone body of you or something else in the fourth dimension. If that transfer has not been done accurately, then you will be incapacitated. You will just be terribly dizzy. You'll fall down. You'll be in a terrible state, which would last a few minutes. But that is another way for somebody whose biological body is not very good at surviving the transfer from one dimension to another to operate in those environments, to have a cloned body, a host body, basically, with no soul in it. And you just go in there, do your stuff, and you come back again. Often they use a clone because the person isn't aware that they're in a clone body. So you know how you look, and you know, you look down at your hands and your feet or what have you, and they'll know no difference. So they'll just, especially if their memory is wiped at the crucial moment of the exchange. So all they'll know is, I was taken and I was found myself on this planet, or I found myself on the spaceship, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And they don't realize that they've actually been placed into an artificial body so they could operate. So the answer is no, physical, biological 3D bodies can operate. It depends on your bloodline, it depends on your lineage, and it depends on your soul. Some people can make it last a long time, some people can't. So that's a really good question. Thank you.
Excellent. Right. So this is a question. I mean, you know, we've been in this for quite a while now, and it's like there's another wave of people waking up, it seems, at this moment. And this is what I've always felt, that people in this group are always worried, you know, when will everybody wake up? It feels to me right now that there's another group of people waking up. And so this feels like representative. This is Joanna from Poland. she starts off, I have an argument ongoing with my husband. Right. And okay, which, who doesn't? Anyway, but anyway, joking aside, should I, or we, forward the alternative news on Facebook sites or my blogs in special groups? Is it safe? I'm still doing it. He doesn't. I assume this is the way to tell the truth, wake people up. He says, who doesn't want to be awakened? Will not read it or get offended. And some evil forces can harm us when they see that what our views and ideas are. But still, I feel I want to participate in this freedom, your soul, consciousness movement around the world. And interestingly enough, I've recently started to see 11s everywhere, on the clock and in other places, or 11s and 22s and 33s. I don't know why I even paid attention to this. Is it a kind of protection for me, a sign? I've heard about angel sign, or is it a programming? And should I stop seeing it, bothering about it? Thank you. Does that make sense? There's a lot of questions but there's a kind of, you know, throw some anchors down for us.
I've got it. One time when Jesus was traveling from one town to another, he would walk and there would be a group of followers behind him. Some might be what they loosely called disciples. Others would be hangers-on, and those who just wanted to see another miracle, and would go as far as the next village and then get bored and go away again. And as he was walking along, he saw a guy sitting outside his house, and Jesus was well known in that neighborhood. And the guy called out to him and said, along the lines of, Master, I know who you are. I'd like to follow you and, you know, be part of your group. To which Jesus replied, yeah, that's fine. You know, come along. And he said, but my father died yesterday and I need to bury my father. So if you would be very kind, Jesus, and just wait while I bury my father, then I'll join you. And Jesus replied, let the dead bury the dead. Which seemed very harsh to the man. And, you know, he had to choose now between burying his father or following Jesus. Jesus carried on walking. And what Jesus was saying was, you have to decide whether your 3D world and your 3D life takes precedent over what you might have agreed to do when you came here. So when the questioner says that her partner was fearful, I don't like that word, was fearful of repercussions, well, you have to decide. If you've got young children and you are worried that something's going to happen, or you're worried for your own safety, then don't do it. It's your choice. You know, no one makes you do these things. But if you have fear in your heart, are you the right person to go forward with the burning torch to try to put light into dark places? So you need to question and look at yourself and think, what is it that I'm fearful of? What is it that that might happen to me. And it might be that it's not your time now, but in 6 months or a year's time, then it is your time to do that. But most of us have a burning drive to do something. And maybe what we have to do is we have to push until we meet the resistance. We meet the wall. We stick our hands out and we say, how far can I go? How far can we actually go before something or somebody says, that's it, we're not happy with that? For some of us, it's just a few inches, but for others, it might be many feet. We all have to do what we have to do. And remember my old thing about Lord of the Rings when Barnum Butterbur says, you know, he's prepared to do something, and Strider says, you know, every little helps. So no matter what we do, helps. The elite know everyone anyway. They all know. They listen to this show. They record it. I know that for a fact. And they'll know everyone. So if you're posting stuff, they know it. The question is whether you are a direct threat to them or whether you're a niggling threat. And remember that if you are in the eye of the public, it's very hard for them to take you out because the repercussions for them are huge. You know, very rarely do key people get taken out. Now, JFK got taken out because they considered that the damage to them was greater if they left him in power. In other words, it was the end of them. If JFK had stayed in office, all the elites would have been wiped out. So although there was a massive backlash for years to come against the elite for doing what they did, to which they still have a lot of problems about, that they felt they had no option because to leave JFK in position would have been the end of their careers or the end of their power. Now, if you're posting stuff on Facebook, that isn't going to mean the end of the elite. So the repercussions against you are proportionately going to be so much less. But you have to ask yourself what you believe in. Everybody on this planet should perhaps ask themselves, what is vital to me? What do I believe in? Where do I stand on this? Am I prepared to make a statement, or should I give a little bit now so that, you know, next month I can be a bit more forthright? And that is a choice that I cannot tell you to make. You yourself must decide what you should do and how you should do it. So that's my answer.
Thank you very much. Ah, yes. What's your view on this is from Shelin, who's actually going to be on my shoe later. Maybe
on me?
Maybe walking a mile in my moccasins. She's very empathic. Anyway, so what is your view on the peaceful rising up of indigenous peoples in the US regarding protecting the natural water sources? Do you have any insight as to how to support this movement?
yes, it shouldn't just be the indigenous people. The point is that the indigenous people are connected perhaps the most closely to the transfer of information through underground and overground water streams and channels because they feel it and they are communicated with. The planet actually communicates with certain people. You know, that's quite revolutionary for even people in our own industry. But the planet can communicate. One of the ways it transfers information from one part of the globe to the other is not above in the air, it's through water courses and water streaming. And that is one of the major reasons that they wish to frack, because they wish to pour chemicals into underground streams to try to confuse the planet's consciousness. We, as a living organic organism, humans, are a mirror image of the divine sacred geometry of creation. So we have veins in our body which blood goes through. The planet has water that runs underground and overground. That is the same thing, except in the planet's case, this is carrying information from one aspect of the planet to the other. And generally, there's a direction that it's moving in. So there's the, for want of a better word, the brain. And from that, the information is being disseminated out around the planet to certain sacred points. And from there, it's then being put out. So native people, indigenous people who are not corrupted by money and technology and false education will pick up that communication. You know, why when we need to connect with the planet, you know, why do we take our shoes and socks off and put our bare feet on virgin ground? We are connecting with it. Why did the Zulus talk after they'd killed people to go out into the water and wade out into the water? You know, we need to understand that this is a primary way that humans have connected, rightly or wrongly, with the consciousness of the planet. So what we need to do is, for those of us who are not native and indigenous, we need to actually support those groups or set our own campaign group up. We need to educate ourselves and educate others and not become disillusioned with meeting brick walls. I mean, I often say to people, look, you can't always go to somebody and say what I've just said to everyone on radio now, because they won't, you know, there's too much for them. But what you can say is, I tell you what, if you have a house and you own your house and you have a fracking facility close to your house price will fall down. You will have nobody want to buy your house. So I bring it to their level. I put it on a monetary level. And suddenly the person, for totally the wrong reason, says, I don't want fracking. But I get the result I want. I get another person or group of people who are now against fracking. And we're running out of time, and I can't always spend an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours trying to convince somebody. If I can just do it in 10 seconds and say, oh, your house price is going to hit rock bottom, they're straight off writing to their lawmaker, House of Parliament, House of Lords, whatever it is. Oh, I don't want fracking. Well, that's what I want. I want people writing to the papers. I want people attending organizations. I want them to have open meetings and use any legitimate tool to get that through. So, yeah, that's my answer.
So, now, here we go. There's a quick one, but it's a short question, maybe a longer answer. From James, many people claim that they were able to stop alien abduction by calling out the name of Jesus. Is there really something to this?
Right. I wondered if I ever get this question. It must be because it's the last one of the year.
It's funny because I was actually thinking of this question earlier on today in the shower for some reason. But please, go ahead.
Right. There is something to it, but I don't want people giving their power away to something else. I've used this before as an analogy, and I'll do it again because I think it's really helpful. In the 30s and 40s and 50s, there was what called the Hammer horror films. And my generation in the 1960s and 70s got to see them regularly because that's what was on telly at anything from 6 o'clock in the evening onwards. And I always have this vision of a terrified priest holding a cross or a crucifix and Count Dracula, you know, sharpening his fangs, ready to jump on this holy man and eat him all up. And the priest holds out the cross and the crucifix and he says, you know, in the name of God, in the name of Jesus, I banish you, go. And, you know, Dracula just laughs at him and then kills him. The point is, if you don't believe in your own truth, how can you expect anyone else to believe in it? So if somebody is calling out to Jesus to protect them, if they believe in the strength of goodness, if they believe that goodness can outweigh evil, which it can, they will truly banish that entity because they are not showing fear in that sense. They are showing that they're putting their trust in love, in goodness. Because when they call out for Jesus, I don't know they're calling out for a man in a robe. I think they're calling out for what they hold true as the epitome, the top of the point of love and truth and justice and kindness and compassion. So if they're calling out to that, fact, they're calling out to source, actually. And if they're calling out to source, that will mean that these negative entities can't do anything because they don't have the power of that person. They haven't got control of that person. All right. Unlike somebody, excuse me now, I don't want to upset anybody. Unlike someone who goes into a place of worship, an official establishment church, gets on their knees and says, I have sinned. I ate three chocolates today. And I shouldn't have done, and I should only have eaten two chocolates, and I've really sinned today. Or I didn't get up and give my seat on the bus to that old lady, and I'm really, really chewed up about that, and I'm a sinner. I'm really guilty. That is a person who doesn't understand who they are and is giving all of their energy and power to something else that was constructed by men relatively recently to obtain control over you. So I don't care whether you call out to Jesus, Archangel Michael, or Source, providing you're calling out for love, truth, and justice, and you're saying, I've got no room in my heart for evil, I want to align myself with what is honest and true and loving, and the belief that I have in that is so strong that it will reject you and your evilness. And that's what rejects and pushes these things away. It isn't Jesus or Archangel Michael with a great flap of the wings coming down and saying, I banish you, go to hell. It's the individual saying, I believe in this, you don't believe in that, and get thee gone, Satan. And that's the answer. Thank you.
Or as actually Alex Cully did a perfect one the other day, but I won't repeat exactly. Yeah, get the frack out of here was his response.
Okay, that's a pretty good one. I like that.
Yeah. So whatever works, whatever, you know, it's the force of will and intent that does it. So anyway, meanwhile, any news on Cain and Abel, and do these beings still exist?
Right. So much in the Bible is not true. So much of it is true, but has been altered to fit an image or a story that gives power in the hands of certain people. In the modern version of the Bible, it says Cain slew Abel. I think that's right. Yes. But that isn't actually my understanding of it. Cain et Abel.
Oh, right. It's not even like, okay, so go ahead, please.
Yeah, fine. No, you don't pass out on me, JP. that's where we get cannibalism from, basically. It is not unusual for high-ranking reptilians to eat the flesh of someone that they've killed. It's a ritualistic thing. And that is what occurred, in my opinion. Cain slew Abel. They were reptilians and, part reptilian, part Anunnaki, and one killed one and ate him, or part of him, as part of the deal that the energy of those creatures vibrates around. That's the death of the physical body. That soul, presumably, will reincarnate. So are you saying that those creatures are on the planet? No, they're not. But their soul may well be in a different form of a body. Who knows? That soul could be in a human body. It could be in a grey body, unlikely, but possible. It could be in a reptilian body, quite likely. No, those individuals don't exist, but the soul does. It's like, you know, the old joke about I'm Napoleon Bonaparte. Yes, you and 20 others. And people sort of say, well, you know, I was Cleopatra, or I'm Cleopatra. Do you think you're Cleopatra? Do you think you're Julius Caesar? Well, no. But the soul that was in that body, or a soul fragment that was in that body, could be in another body and give that individual the connection back to that line. So there was only one Napoleon. There was only one Julius Caesar, because that is the person that is painted or carved in marble and appears as a physicality. But the soul that inhabited those bodies may well reappear in another physical body. So no, there isn't another Napoleon or another Julius Caesar on the planet, but the soul in that body may have a very strong connection to those. And you know when you're not in a spiritual environment, when one person attacks somebody else, you know, my incarnation is better than your incarnation. My history is better than your history. I'm more spiritual than you are. You know, I'm better than you are. And you think, oh my God, can you hear yourself? You know, you set yourself up as a spiritual person, yet you are creating a hierarchy or attempting to do so. And now I say to people, when you hear that, just walk away from it. Just walk away from it, because that person is not on an evolutionary road that you should be on. Judge people by what they say, what they do. That's a good question. Thank you.
Well, okay. Don't they? Some really thinking. Hang on. There's from Cheryl. All right, hang on. Let me just think. All right. Hi, Simon. JP, my question is, Simon, do you know anything about Our Lady of Medjugorje or something? Medjugorje?
No, I don't. Sorry.
And the sixth vision.
That's something that hasn't. And I have said this before, I don't want to just say no, go away, because that's not the way we are here. I tend to have access to information that has a relevance now. It doesn't mean that something hasn't had a relevance in the past, or in some point outside of my vision is going to have a point, or is on a timeline that at the moment isn't scheduled to take effect. You know, I've talked a couple of shows back where the bad guys were really, really trying to push us to the side of one timeline. They were really trying to do that, and it failed. So if you've got this corridor, and we are on the right-hand side of the corridor, and something is on the left-hand side of the corridor, and we're not going to go through it, then I might not know about that, because there is so much. There's so much on this planet, and you can't. You've got to be focused on what's just around the corner, what's definitely going to happen, because we need to be able to deal with that. It doesn't mean anything's less important in terms of its history or its individual importance, but in terms of the effect it's going to have on humanity, I don't know anything about that. But thank you for writing in, because I could have done, couldn't I? I could have known about it.
You might have, yeah. Right, okay, so here's a question from Johnny from Florida. Hi, JP and Simon. Thank you for your courage. Connecting Consciousness is my favorite program anywhere.
Excellent.
Simon, you were asked by a young lady if Anu and Lucifer are the same. You said that Anu was the serpent in the garden. I ask you, Simon, are they the same being? Does Satan, Lucifer exist separately, or is Anu the being that people are selling their soul to in Hollywood behind the veil of Satan? If not, what is the connection between the two, as there seems to be many parallels between reptilian energy and satanic energy?
Right, I didn't understand the question because there was an energy block in that question.
I'll say that again.
I'll stop you. Right. At the point of the block. So if you could just read that, please.
Simon, you were asked by a young lady if Anu and Lucifer are the same. You said... You said that Anu was the serpent in the garden. I ask you, Simon, are they the same being?
Stop.
Yeah.
Stop. Right. The word I ask you.
Ah.
I ask you. I'm not going to answer that question. Please move on to the next question.
Okie dokie.
That's a trigger word.
Really?
Yes. I ask you.
I ask you, mate. Yeah. All right. Tom. Back to a very, question. What was the reason for the Swedish Prime Minister Olof Palme to be shot or taken down in the February of 1986?
This has occurred before. This question is very interesting. So many people who are supposed to walk a certain tightrope and do what they're told suddenly find that, I don't know, their conscience pricks them, or they see the future and it so horrifies them that they are prepared to put themselves in harm's way. I mean, we mentioned JFK. Do not for one minute think that JFK didn't think someone wanted to kill him or was going to kill him. He knew that. But he didn't live a life in fear. And people who are close to him know that he was having conversations saying, I think someone's going to try and kill me. But what JFK didn't understand was that elements of FBI were corrupted. Hoover, particular, and the CIA was all against him. What JFK thought was that the FBI, as a solid group, were supporting him, whereas Hoover had gone over to the other side. So often a statesman or woman will make a judgment as to whether they think they can break free from a certain control element, whether they give signs that they are no longer controllable, whether they obtain information or they come across information which they clearly don't like. So in this planet, people are murdered who have 3D positions of responsibility. So you could be the leader of a bank, you could be a lawmaker, you could be a general in the army, that's less happens, but nevertheless you have a high position in a 3D reality hierarchy, which means you have the levers of 3D power. You know, imagine John Lennon wasn't murdered, imagine if Prince wasn't murdered. And those people going onto stage with 50, 60,000 people and then starting to name people. I'll name these people. These people are Satanists. These people are paedophiles. And you can't stop it then because that individual has spoken live to so many people. That's why these individuals are murdered, because they are on the verge of going out to the public and speaking the truth. And that's why because when you murder somebody like that, it's such a risk. You know, the backlash is tremendous. So you as an evil person, and that's what these evil people do, they look to see what's worse. And we talked about it earlier with JFK. What's worse, the backlash or leaving this person in position? So they murder these people because they think they've lost control of them and they're about to go public. And you'll find that with this particular prime minister, he had stumbled upon something. It was actually something that was a little bit known to the public, but not to the great depth. And this particular prime minister was not prepared to play games and was going to actually take a moral standpoint. So it was murdered. I'm always very, very careful because these people have wives, children, and, you know, we need to be respectful because the pain and the emotion that will bring up. I have no doubt that most people in office who are murdered not because somebody doesn't like their policy. You know, I'm going to put another penny on the income tax. People don't get murdered for that, but they get murdered because there's an elite organization that is now fearful that the person that they put in power to do the job they thought they were going to do is no longer going to do that and is going to go and take a different path. And so that's what happened to him, and it's happened to quite a few people. Very sad. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Simon. This is the end of this fortnightly show. We still don't have enough room to, you know, and enough time to answer all of the questions, and it's always a great show to have on the station. Thank you very much, Simon. Any final Christmassy, New Year's-y, solstice.
You've been soldering.
Solenoid Basket Case, yes. Anyway, that's a new band, you know, Solenoid Basket.
Yeah. I love it. That's why I love you, because, you know, you're so full of love, JP. Look, let's go into the new year brave. Let's go in cheerful and happy. Let's not go in and be derailed by all the negative stories. Let's have warnings, by all means. Let's prepare for it. But let's look at it and say, we have to do this. We have to come through, and we'll come through the other end. So listen, you know, when I say God bless to people, I don't mean, you know, God in the robe. I mean the source. source bless you. And thank you for staying true to whatever agreements you made. I'm talking to everybody now. When you came to this planet, thank you for not being brainwashed. Thank you for not being mind controlled. Thank you for breaking free from it. And thank you for, you know, holding the truth and talking to people and doing your best to try to awake people up. Stay focused. It's all in our lifetimes. That's what's so exciting, for goodness sake. We're here now. You know, you could have been born 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago. But no, you were born to live now. Why? Because you're going to be part of the most exciting change round the corner for humanity. What a wonderful thing to experience. You know, you got front row seats. Brilliant. Listen, God bless to everybody. Thank you, JP. And send me a message in the new year, because I'll probably forget when we're supposed to pick it all up again.
It'll be the first and third Sunday of the month. So we never actually, I'll tell you right now. Hang on, let's just put it down on the diary. And so everybody will know today.
It's the 18th today, isn't it?
Yeah. So the first, actually the first Sunday is January the 1st. So, do you want to do that? It will be New Year's Day.
Yes, let's do.
Are you available New Year's Day? Are you going to a party New Year's Eve?
Hang on, JP, yeah. I just need to project into the future here.
Hang on, let's press the time machine button then.
What is the likelihood of the audience actually listening on New Year's Day to this?
They'll always listen. They'll sacrifice everything in their lives to stop the world and listen to our show. If not now, if not live, they'll listen to the archive.
Let's do it on the first.
Okay, if you're around, then that's great, because I'm always around. I don't go.
Let's say we're going to do it, but if for any reason we're not, we'll put a message out in plenty of time.
Okay, thank you very much, Simon. And
thank you.
Stand by for Simon Says.